I was praying early this morning and just felt like that we need to pray right now. So I want to invite you to the altar if you want to come and pray right now. If you have needs that you want to see the Lord meet today. If some of you have already filled out your card, you can go ahead and bring them up here now, place them in the offering plate basket. We'll do it at the end also. If you have an offering you want to bring now or later, you can do that. But I want to open the altar for you to come and pray. So let's do that right now. You come. Lord, you say in your word, in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. Lord, we're humbling ourselves before you right now in prayers, prayers of intercession. Brother Kenny's already asked us to call out to you for healing today. And Lord, we're doing that right now. Some of us at the altar today, right now, need the healing touch of God upon their lives. And I'm praying right now that God, you'll do that. That you do the miraculous. We've seen the miraculous happen right here at this altar. God, there's some people standing and kneeling here right now that have experienced your power in their lives. Your miracle working power, and I'm asking you to do that in their lives today. Lord, some need a miracle in their job today. Your provision. You are Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides. And we call out to you, Lord, that you would provide for the body today, the body of Christ today. Come, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Today, come in power, come with your presence. And Lord, we're praying prayers of intercession for people who need you today, who are lost without Jesus, who've lost their way in the world. And how shall we have a way unless that way is you? Because Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Come now. Come to us. Come, Lord Jesus. Show us your way. Lord, some of us are hurting deeply today with family situations, relational situations. And God, we just need you, your help today. We need you to come and make us whole. Come and bring your healing on the inside. I'm asking you to do that today, Lord, with power, great power. Because after all, you are the Lord of all. And Lord, we're going to say it right now. Would you say with me, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over all. And he's Lord over me. We bless you. We present all of these things before you. And we come in agreement in prayer. If you're in agreement with this prayer, would you just say amen out loud?
Amen.
Amen. And we say amen, which means so be it. So be it according to the plan and the purpose of God. Amen. God bless you. Anybody feel the presence of God? God touched you today? Already? Well, he has me. And I thank him today. We're going to bring our team down here in just a few minutes to pray over those that are going to Haiti. And Daniel, I haven't forgot you. I'm going to pray with you. But before we do that, I want to answer a question today from God's Word. Why are we going? Why are we going down there? That's a great question to ask, because I was talking to somebody this week, and we were having this conversation back and forth, and we were talking about, I said, you know, sometimes you say you're part of something like that, and people give great forms of affirmation, and then other times you feel like people are saying, ah, why in the world are you doing something like that? If you have your Bible, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Several of the passages we're going to read today are going to be about in Barnabas' life. Barnabas, whose name was Joses, and he got the nickname or the code name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. I think you'll see why. There never would have been an Apostle Paul without a Barnabas. Never. It wouldn't happen. Barnabas was the scaffolding that God used to launch Paul into his ministry. Paul would have never made it. He never had the audience. He had never been able to go into the places where he went without Barnabas. Verse 22, chapter 11 in Acts. And the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. Talking about what was happening in other places, Antioch and other places. And they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. They trusted him enough to send him to get the news back about what was really happening there. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. So he affirmed what was going on there that was of God, and he walked into it himself and experienced its power. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left Tarsus to look for Saul. So he goes out and he seeks Saul. Rick read this passage a few weeks ago. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year they met with the church, and they taught considerable numbers. Notice, they taught together. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. At this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, called Agabus, stood up, began to indicate by the Spirit there would certainly be a great famine all over the world. And this took place during the reign of Claudius. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. This they did, seeing it in charge of Barnabas and Saul to the elders. So, why do you go? Why are we going to Haiti? We're going the same reason why the disciples were going at that time. Because there was a great need that was taking place. I want you to remember, weeks back, when you first heard about what was going on in Haiti, did you feel that in the spiritual realm, the cry out, that there was a great weeping that was taking place? So many people dying, so much suffering going on. we would just have to be spiritually, absolutely disengaged and unplugged not to have felt that. Feel that it's going on. And right here in our own hemisphere. I mean, we're going to get on a plane in Fort Lauderdale. That's way down there. That's 7 hours down to Fort Lauderdale. We're going to get a plane, and in 2 hours flat, we're going to be in Port-au-Prince. That's how close it is. It's a great need. Why do you go? Because there's a great need. Why does the church ever go? First of all, because there's a great need. The need is there. And let me tell you, it's not just in Haiti. It's all over the world. It's all over the world. A great need. A great need physically, but an even greater need spiritually. Secondly, why do we go? Go to chapter 13 in Acts, verses 1 through 4. They're at Antioch now. You got Barnabas and Saul that are there, who later became Paul. Verse 1. Now there were at Antioch, the church there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, they're in worship. The Holy Spirit comes and speaks to the church. Stop right there for just a moment. So the Holy Spirit speaks. Is the Holy Spirit speaking today? Is He speaking right now? Is He speaking to the body? Well, a lot of times I've walked right by it. The Spirit of God was speaking, but I wasn't. Is that you sometime? And the Scripture records what the Spirit of God said. So I want you to know, listen to me. Some of us that have been cessationists in the past, that we think all and I was in this camp at one time myself, that I thought all the signs and wonders and all that stuff was just for the first century. That when the canon of Scripture was completed, that there was no more need for the signs and wonders and the power gifts that are spoken of, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are spoken of in the New Testament. That's not what the Word of God says. That's not what the book of Acts bears out. And what it bears out is that God is still speaking. And here's what He said. Literally, this is what the Spirit of God said. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, what'd they do? They did the apostolos on them. They sent them out. That's what the word apostolos means. It means apostle. It means sending. The root of that word is sending. He sent them out. Sent them out in the name of Jesus. So they hear from the Holy Spirit. I want you to note here, and immediately they act on what the Spirit of God told them to do. Isn't that neat? So a second reason why are we going? Because of God's call. He's spoken. And when He speaks, we must not only listen, but do what He says to do. We don't always understand it. Third reason why do we go? Let's start reading in verse 4 of that same chapter. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And by the way, I just want to let you know, this is going to stretch some of us here right now. Be prepared. They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, island of Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to preach the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their helper. Remember John Mark? When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they met a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now I want you to know, one of the things you run into every time you start proclaiming the Word of God, you run into religion. And religion is not of God, in my definition of religion. Because religion is man's attempts to get up to God. The Bible is not about man's attempts to get up to God. The Scripture is all about how God came to man even when man didn't even know he needed God. Got it? It's a love letter. It's a wonderful love letter. A rescue mission. So, they run into old Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus, a magician. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence. I just love this because God just exposes all the human stuff that's just a load of garbage. This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, or so his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Can you see the battle going on right here? There's a battle that has been struck. And let me tell you, that battle was struck in the garden, and it's been going on ever since. Where the devil came, Satan came. He came with his lies. He came with his deceit. And we've been battling ever since the Garden of Eden. And it's throwdown. It's a real life battle. And every time you lift up the name of Jesus, you're going to be in battle. And I'm warning you today, as we go down there, you know what's going to happen to his efforts here? He's going to turn them up. So you know what we got to do? We got to turn up the prayer quotient. And we got to battle in the place, in the spiritual realm where that battle's being fought. We got to pray together and come together. Yeah, there's going to be a battle in Haiti. I can already see it. I already see the opposition that will be there. There's plenty of religion in Haiti. But is there plenty of Jesus in Haiti? Every cup of water, every time medicine is going to be administered, you know how it's going to be administered? In the name of Yeshua, the Son of God. Every time. And there will be power because of that. Let's read on with the story. All right, so Elymas, the magician, he's opposing them. He's trying to turn the proconsul away. But Saul, who's also known as Paul now, introduced his new name, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him. And he said, "You are full of all deceit and fraud." Woo! That's pretty gutsy, isn't it? To speak that out. But you know what? When Saul is speaking this out, who's actually speaking it through him? He is the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit as he speaks that. "You son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? Can't you see what man tries to do? He tries to turn it around, make it crooked, make it complicated. Like salvation, complicating it. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a simple gospel. Jesus saves. He saves his people. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. He gets a sign that God means what he says. If he's missed it up to now, his blindness is going to show that God has spoken through Paul. Immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, what happened? He believed. He believed. See the battle? When he saw what had happened, and being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. You see, there was a power encounter. God's power came. So why do you go? We go because we go in the great power of God, the power that can throw down evil and make brand new the lives of men and women and boys and girls. It's a great disaster in Haiti, but it's a wide open opportunity for the gospel for that place to come to Jesus and a whole new infrastructure be established based on righteousness and based upon Jesus. There's a fourth reason why we go. Turn to Matthew 28. Where are we going? Because you see, we also have a great commission given by our Lord. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. Are you there? Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given me in heaven and earth. If we belong to Jesus, then how much authority do we have? All authority, because we're in His name. That's why we invoke His name. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Why do we go? Because we have a great commission. A great commission by Him. By Him. He has commanded us to go. Lastly, turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Why do we go? Because we have a great God. What does He say here? He says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's going to happen. You can't help but it happen. When the power of God gets loose in you, you got to tell somebody. Or it's going to bust you wide open. You know, it's like a raging fire just waiting to get out, and eventually it's going to burn out somewhere. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria and to the uttermost in all of those places. Now I don't know where Haiti fits. Jerusalem, all Judea. Maybe Samaria. They're close enough. We'll let you theologues work that out. And get back to me. And let me know after God does His great powerful work where exactly was happening there in Acts 1:8. And we'll put out an email bulletin about which category it fit in. I'm fooling with you, I know. Because it actually doesn't matter to me where, because He didn't say just go to that place, then drag up stakes and go to that place and go. He said go to that place, keep this going, go to this place, keep these going, go to this place, keep it all going, go to this place. So that you'll set the world on fire. Remember what they said? Another passage in Acts. Those people that have turned the world upside down have come to our town. I want to see His power. I called Freddie Hebron a couple of days ago. Freddie's pastor at Christian Revival Center, old friend of mine from way back. Number of you know Freddie. He's been going down to Haiti at least a decade. Has an office set up there, a ministry, a warehouse. And I was talking to him, and he was missing for several days. He was out of contact. He said, "Brother Dusty, I was living in my van on Pop-Tart." And he sounded good, eh, Audrey? And he said, "Man," he said, "I'll never forget that experience of that, just everything shaking." He said, "The Lord had given me 4,000 tents several years ago." Had them all in a warehouse down there. People tried to get him to get rid of them. Said, "What are you storing all that stuff?" He said, "Well, God hadn't let me get rid of them tents yet. Until God tells me what to do with them, they're sitting right there in that warehouse. They're not moving." I want you to bear that in mind when some people tell you, "Oh, you've got to do this. You've got to do something, even if it's the wrong thing." No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You do it when God tells you to do it. That's when you do it. He held on to those tents. Lord also given him 4 40-foot trailer loads of Pop-Tarts. He said, "Brother Dusty, I know what I was going to do with them Pop-Tarts." He said, "As soon as that earthquake came," he said, "the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, 'I told you so.'" He had a place for the tents and a place for the Pop-Tarts. You know, in Hebrews 11, they were living in tents looking for a city. In this case, they were living in tents looking for Pop-Tarts. And he said, "We fed thousands of people for days. Thank God for Pop-Tarts." I said, I talked to Fred. I said, "Okay, Fred, I'll talk to you tomorrow," which would have been yesterday. I said, "We'll talk some more. I need to get some information from you." Well, I called him. Secretary said he's taking his wife. Had to take to the doctor. I'm like, "Man, I really need to talk to Freddie. I got to talk to him. We got business to take care of," because he was getting a hold of some gospel tracts in Creole that he's going to hook us up with while we're down there. So I had to go see Dr. O'Carey yesterday afternoon, talking over a few things for the trip. He said, I said, I talked to Freddie Hebron yesterday. He said, I talked to him today. He said, he just left here a little while ago. I said, God, you're good. You can start a conversation with one and finish it with another. Do you see the team concept? He's talking to one part of the team. He's going to finish the conversation with another part. Do you see it? Do you get it? It's God. It's God moving. Now, team, come on up here. Dr. O'Carey, come on. Kennedy O'Carey, Gary Strickland, John and Michael Bonifacio, James, and little Megan. Yeah. Get close. Come on, get close. Come on in here, John. Get close. That means get close. All right? Where's Dave?
He's on the way.
He's way in the back.
Ricky, come here. I'm going to anoint the rest of the team, then you can anoint me. All right? And why we use this oil? This is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, a symbol of the power of God and of His anointing. Because unless God puts His hand on us, we have nothing to say and nothing to do. But with God's hand on us, we've got the whole world in His hands. We anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now join us as we pray. As we're praying, if God puts a one word, that's what He's kind of put on my heart, to speak out of one word, either blessing or some prophetic word He's put on your heart for the team. Speak it out right now. Let me ask you as a team, us as a team, do you receive these words of blessing and prophetic words that have been spoken over you today? Amen. Lord, today we receive your anointing, the power to do your will and purpose, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, to have ears to hear and a mouth to speak for healing, God. God, I'm praying for every person of the 22 plus that are going on the trip, Lord, that your power would be upon them today. They can feel that and sense that and know God is with them. Lord, come. Come with those signs and wonders. Come with your salvation. Come with your healing. And come with hope. Hope, Jesus. And we bless you. We give all the honor, praise, glory, and majesty to the only one who is worthy of our praise. The Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it is in His name and in His power that we pray. Amen. Amen. As you turn to your seat, I have one more thing I want to say to you. I wanted to give you a visual before I sent you out. We've got, 22 people or 23 now? 22. We'll be leaving at midnight next Saturday night on a wonderful Greyhound that God has provided for us. And He's going to provide some earplugs for the other people, because I will be sleeping on the bus. And John will be sleeping, and we are the sons of thunder when it comes to snoring. Right, John? We've been locked out of retreats, all sorts of places, had your luggage put outside before. So just a warning to all the brethren and the sistren ahead of time. We'll be returning. We'll leave at 2:25 on the plane. It'll take 2 hours to get down there. Brother Freddie Hebron promises he's going to be at, along with the Presbyterian Mission, where we're going to be staying, which is about a few miles out of Port-au-Prince. But he's also going to be there to meet us, greet us. He's going to be down there at the same time we're down there, which is awesome. We'll come back next Sunday. We'll be back in Savannah probably sometime Sunday evening. And we're counting on you to pray for us. We're going to try to get some email messages out and let you know. Brother Gary is going to be filming for JCL. They've given him one of their cameras to do footage that they're going to use. And they've already used it. Any of you see our little interview on TV? That's a great thing. Now, I brought Gary's little pocket trumpet up here. That's what you call that, right? Okay. Now, this is the one, same one that went to Africa? All right. Now, you heard it this morning. What great music it came out from Brother Gary. I want you to be praying that God will release all of our gifts and graces. Everything about who we are as we go as a team to use it. And Gary went into places, his horn and his music got us into places that we never could have gotten into over in Nigeria. But praise God for that. But pray that He will release us to be God's instrument in God's hands. And He can make beautiful music come forth from us. Lord, now send us out in Your grace and in Your power. Let us know and experience Your power and presence this week. God, You may do something in Haiti that You want to happen right here in Savannah, Georgia. And that may be Your instrument. We're asking You. Come, Spirit of God. Speak and work and move. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. If you filled out another card, or if you haven't dropped your offering in the basket, they're up here and in the back. Go in God's grace. We love you. I thought you did.